Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
Well, let's get right into our Bible study. Open your Bible, if you would, to Matthew 21, verse 22. If you're new to our church, we're in a series calling How to Pray and Get Results. Wow, I don't want to waste my prayer time. I don't think you do either. I don't want to be praying things that aren't getting through or making a difference. I don't want to just be saying a bunch of words. I don't want to just be mimicking somebody else. How about you? I don't want a ritual. I want a relationship. And I want results in my prayer life. And I think you're just like me, in Jesus' name. So prayer is not begging God. Prayer is not begging God. I gave you the illustration last weekend. I was in Monterrey, Mexico one time, and the pastor showed me on top of the mountain was three crosses. There were stairs all the way up to the crosses, and there was broken glass and rock on the stairs. And people were crawling up the side of that mountain. I said, what are they doing? He said, they're doing penance. They're thinking that's the way they get to God. Well, I want you to know that prayer is not punishment. Prayer is a privilege. Amen. Prayer is not begging God. Prayer is not bargaining with God. Prayer is not badgering God. I know in my own life, there have been seasons in my early years as a Christian, I would badger God. Where are you, God? How come, God? Why hasn't it happened, God? I'd badger God. How many of you know begging, badgering, or bargaining won't get results? It's believing God. And so I want to give you 3 points right off the bat that we walked away with last weekend. And I'm going to put 45 years of ministry on prayer. The biggest file of sermons in my files is on prayer. But I want to boil it down to 3 points. And you get results when you pray if you spend the rest of your life on these three things. Number one, knowing who God is. Knowing who God is. That's huge. Because my picture of God determines how I approach God. My picture of God determines my prayer life. It's essential to a powerful prayer life. My picture of God. If I think God is a bad God, then I'm going to draw away from Him. But if I think He's a good God, then I'm going to be drawn to Him. The Bible says it's the goodness of the Lord that draws people to change, repentance. It's not guilt-driven, it's good-driven. Or can I say grace-driven? I think the biggest word in the Bible, and I've read the Bible many times from cover to cover, and every time I read the Bible, I get something new. How about you? But in all my years of over a half a century serving God, I've come to this conclusion. The biggest word in the Bible is grace. The biggest word in the Bible is grace. You see, Pastor, I thought it was faith. Well, the faith that we have was given to us by God's grace. Everything we have, everything we are, is through God's grace. The grace of God is defined as this: everything that God is, everything that God has, and everything that God can do, that's the grace of God. I don't want to be driven to prayer through guilt. How about you? I want to be drawn to prayer through God's grace. Focusing on my guilt will steal my energy. It'll steal my opportunities. Focusing on my guilt, shame, and condemnation and where I've gone wrong will rob me of my future because I'm dwelling constantly on my past failures. I don't want to be a guilt-driven Christian. I want to be drawn by the grace of God. So these 3 points, if I get these down and work on them till I die, you die, or Christ comes back, number one, find out who God is. Do you know that the disciples never asked Jesus, and I think Jesus was the greatest leader that has ever lived, right? Jesus Christ is the greatest leader that ever has or will live. But the disciples never asked him one time, teach us how to lead. Not one time. I think Jesus was the greatest miracle worker that has ever or will ever live, the greatest miracle worker, but you can't find in the Bible where the disciples went to him and said, teach us how to do miracles. The only thing they asked Jesus to teach them was what? How to pray. The only thing that they asked Jesus, would you teach us this? Was they said in Luke 11, New Testament, teach us how to pray. Y'all remember that? And then you know how he started it out? Now, Jesus, I'll tell you what, he was a revolutionary, wasn't he? He was counterculture. Wasn't Jesus counterculture? Yeah, just like you and I are supposed to be. And Jesus brought something to them they'd never heard before. Now, to you and I in the Western world, we fly right over it. But in their world, in the Jewish custom of that day and that time, oh my goodness, this has never been heard of before. And you know what it was? He said, start your prayer out like this. Our Father, which art in heaven. Did you know up to that time, nobody could call God Father? Did you know that? In the Jewish culture, you could not. That's why they wanted to crucify him. How dare he say he's the Son of God? How dare he call God Father? That was revolutionary. That was never heard of. That was against Jewish tradition and law. You could never call God Father. To them, it was a sign of disrespect. But what Jesus was saying is that you start off, that you base your prayer on relationship, not ritual. You base your prayer on, think about it, know who he is. He's your heavenly Father. And he's a good Father. Amen. So number one was know who God is. And number two is know how God works. If you were with me, do you remember that? You see, God works in patterns. God has rhythms and patterns and a timetable. God works on principles. God doesn't work on my time or your time. God doesn't work according to my need or your need. God doesn't work according to my want or your want. God works according to his principles and his patterns. So if I want to work with God and get God to work with me, I've got to understand how God works. Boy, I said a whole lot right there. If I want to work with God and have God work with me, with my marriage, my career, my parenting, my health, my future, my finances, I've got to find out how God works. I've got to find out principles like the law, the royal law of love, the royal law of love. I've got to find out how sowing and reaping, seed time and harvest. I've got to find out how all the law of faith. I've got to find out how his laws, his patterns, his principles work. And then I got to work them. And then guess what? God begins to work in our life. The third thing to pray and get results was, number three, is we got to know what God has promised. We have to know what God has promised. Number one, I forgot already, was know who God is. Number two is know how God works. And number three, know what God has promised. You know, you can't claim what you don't know, right, church? Wow. And my people, the Bible says, are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Oh, my goodness. A lot of us have swallowed myths, tradition, ritual. It's been passed on down to us about prayer. And we find out that we feel like we're wasting our time and our energy, and we're just saying phrases, we're just saying things and getting no results. I say it's time for us to find out what God has promised. And they tell us there's over 7,000 promises in the Bible. 7,000. So, where do I go to find out who God is? I go to the Word of God. Where do I go to find out how God works? I go to the Word of God. Where do I go to find out what God has promised to you and me? I'm not going to take man's opinion or a religious tradition. I want to find out what God has said for myself and my family and what God has promised. Because I can't claim what I don't know. I can't claim what's a part of my inheritance. Amen, church. So those three things right there are huge to pray and get results. You know, 36 years ago, this weekend, 36 years ago, this weekend, Kim and I, as a married couple, we were facing one of the biggest struggles we'd ever faced as a couple. You might be in one of the greatest struggles of your life today. We can all relate to that. But 36 years ago, Kim and I, we just started Church on the Rock. We had just a few people coming. Well, we had given up our insurance. We had no insurance because we were part of a denomination, and the coverage came through our denomination. So we had no insurance, and we had really no support. We've come here to plant this church 36 years ago. Kim was pregnant with our youngest son, Stephen, at that time. And 36 years ago, yesterday, he was born in St. Luke's Hospital. He was born premature 36 years ago yesterday. And when he was born, the doctors came to us and they said, honestly, I don't know why they said it, but they said this: don't worry about his birth certificate. I always remember that. Don't worry about giving him a name, because he's not going to live. He's going to die. He's premature. It was one of the greatest struggles, one of the greatest, darkest weekends of our life as a married couple. Here we left all of our friends, our family, our denomination. We were in a new city. We planted a brand new church. We had no salary. We had no income. We had no money. We had no insurance. But we had God. And we knew these three things. God is a good God. And God has a good plan. And God is for us. And God has promised you'll live and not die. Wow. You know what? That got us through. That got us through. They rushed him to the St. Louis Children's Hospital downtown. Kim stayed in St. Luke's because she had toxemia poisoning. And I remember through that struggle, again, what got us through. And y'all know, thanks be unto God, Stephen is alive, married, and well here today. Amen. To God be the glory. But it was a dark time. It was a bleak time. It was the biggest struggle we'd ever gone through as a married couple. Our second born son was about to die. They gave him no hope. They put him on 100% respirator. 100%. Take him off, he dies instantly. But you know what? All I knew this. I knew who God was. I knew how God worked. And I knew what God had promised. Amen. So I just want to encourage you today, whatever struggle, whatever season, whatever chapter of your life, don't forget that God is for you, that God has a good plan for you, that God has wonderful promises for you, and you begin to build your prayer life on that, and your prayer life will begin to get results you've never imagined before in your life. Amen, church. Can we give God a praise break? Come on, let's thank God for what he's doing in your life today. So I want to go now to a principle, just one thought here today before we go, on how to pray and get results. And that is this, is that let's look at Matthew 20, where we started, Matthew 21, 22. Look up here with me, would you please? And whatever. So God cares about whatever you care about today. Whatever. He really does. Large, small, in between. God cares. And whatever you ask, notice you have to ask. Now I know that Michael even quoted, and it's true in his exhortation, that God knows what we need before we ask, but we still have to ask. And we all know that. We still have to ask, because asking gives God permission. Asking gives God permission. Asking allows God to invade and do the impossible in our life. You see, do we really have to ask? You've got to ask him to get saved before you get saved. But yet he knows you need to get saved. You've got to ask him to get filled with the Holy Spirit before you can get filled with the Holy Spirit. Yet he knows we need the Holy Spirit. Come on, somebody. So we have to ask. Or not, I want to rephrase that. We get to ask. And whatever you ask for in prayer, having faith, there's the prerequisite. There's the disclaimer. You see, not all prayer works. Only prayer filled with faith. Only prayer filled with faith. Begging doesn't work. Bargaining doesn't work. Badgering doesn't work. Only believing. Believing prayers. Worried prayers don't work. Angry prayers don't work. Prejudiced prayers don't work. Bitter prayers don't work. Only believing prayers work. And whatever you ask for in prayer. So as long as you've got breath, things can turn around. Because as long as you've got breath, you can pray to God in faith. And God can turn it around for you. And whatever you ask for in prayer, having faith. Everyone say, having faith. And look at this, really. Oh, I want to emphasize the really. Turn to somebody and say, really. Somebody else and say, really. Really believing you will. Now maybe you will receive. Wow. Wow. Well, Pastor, I've done that and I haven't received. Were you really believing? Or were you wishing and hoping? Were we really believing, or were we waiting to see something change? No, we got to believe when we pray. We receive it then. Amen. He said, really believing. Now, oh, Pastor, why hasn't it happened yet? That's not my department. That's not your department. Because if you know how God works, how does God work? Through people. Oh, that should be enough right there. You see, there are people holding back your miracle. God's trying to deal with them. He's trying to find a willing servant. He's trying to find an obedient servant. He's trying to find a daring faith Christian that God can use to flow through them for your breakthrough, your miracle, and your turnaround. Oh, that's how God works. Oh, it takes time to deal with people, to change hearts. It takes time to turn circumstances around. It takes time to put things together for our good. That's how God works. Wow. So everyone say, really believing. So another word in the Bible for believing is faith. Another word in the Bible for believing, here's where I want to land, is confidence. Confidence. Confidence is another word in the Bible for faith and for believing. So here's what I know. If I lack confidence when I pray, then my prayers won't get results. You following me, family? If I lack confidence, everyone say confidence. If I lack confidence, that's really believing. That's being fully persuaded. My pastor, John Osteen, said, you got to be fully persuaded that nobody can beat it out of you with a baseball bat. Wow. So I've got to get to a point in my life. No one can talk me out of it. No circumstance can cause me to waver. No skeptic can cause me to doubt. That I'm really believing, I'm fully persuaded, bless God, I'm confident in Him in whom I believe. Be confident of this one thing. He that started a work in you will complete that work. Be confident. So if I'm not confident, then God can't do what He could do in my life. You following me, family? So everyone say confidence. Now, what either strengthens our confidence or weakens our confidence is our conscience. What strengthens our confidence or weakens our confidence is our conscience. Pastor, what is our conscience? We've all got one. Our conscience is our voice of our human spirit. Our conscience is our voice. It's that inner guidance in the human spirit. We all have one. We were all born with one, a conscience. The Bible talks about a clean conscience, a cure conscience, a pure conscience, a seared conscience, an immoral conscience. Look it up sometime when you have time and study the word conscience. You'll see it in the Bible. But conscience is connected to confidence. And if I lack confidence, in other words, if I've been doing things I shouldn't be doing and I'm still allowing them to take up room in my life, then it is clouding my conscience. Instead of having a clean conscience, I have a cluttered conscience. And I go to God with that cluttered conscience, and instead of being confident, I'm a wishing and hoping. Because my conscience can either strengthen confidence or weaken my confidence. Y'all with me so far, church? Okay, so let's go to the next scripture, if we could, guys. Let's go to Acts 24:16. Powerful. Therefore, I always, how often, Paul? always exercise. Oh my goodness, how many know exercise isn't always fun? I always exercise and what? Discipline. I always exercise and discipline myself, mortify my body, deaden my affections, appetites, desires, in all respects, so I can have a clear, this is the Apostle Paul, he said he had to do it daily. He had to discipline his life daily. He had to exercise daily. He had to make sure daily that he had a clear conscience. And then the Amplified, I like the Amplified because it amplifies that, and he says a blameless heart. What is a blameless heart? We're called to live a blameless life. Oh, Pastor, I can never do that. You and I could not in our own self, in our own strength. It's not talking about you and I being perfect. Because we know, I know, I'm not perfect. Don't ask Pastor Kim. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. What does it mean to live a blameless life? It goes on to say that we go through life not blaming God, not blaming God, not blaming God, not blaming God, or blaming one another. That's a blameless life. Live blame, live lame. So blameless, a clear. Notice Paul said he had to do this daily. This is the Apostle Paul. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. This is one of the best Christians you could ever find. But he said he had to every day discipline, watch, be on guard, be diligent to keep a clear conscience. Why? Because our conscience is connected to our confidence or our faith. And faith won't work where there's guilt, shame, and condemnation over my past or my present. Faith will not work under a guilt, cloud, condemnation, or shame. That's why, my brother and sister, I don't want anybody I pastor to go to God and have a prayer life driven by guilt. It's a wrong motivation. I want everybody that I pastor, I want you to be drawn to God, can't wait to get with God out of grace, focusing on who he is, how he works, and what he's promised. Focusing on, I can't wait to be with my heavenly Father because he's a good God and gives good gifts to everyone who asks. Can we have a praise break? Come on, let's give God our best praise on a rainy Sunday morning. So he said, I've got to have a clear conscience. What's a clear conscience? I don't walk offended, angry, enraged, mad, holding something over someone, grudges, get even, get back, hold on to it, give him peace of my mind. Oh my goodness. Are you hearing what the Holy Spirit's saying to us today? Because I want our church to go to a new level. I want our church to get results every time we pray. But in a world that's angry and bitter more than ever, in a world that's cynical and sarcastic more than ever, in a world that's more anti-God, anti-Christ than ever before, you and I are to be cross-cultural. We're to live a blameless life with a clear conscience. If the Apostle Paul, who was probably the greatest Christian that ever lived, if he needed every day to work and keep and make sure his conscience was clear, then I need to. Then you need to. Why? Because it's connected to how confident you are, how strong your faith is when you go to God in prayer. And what is a clear conscience? It's living your life and you're not offended. How many people do you know who are offended? Offended. I think John Bevere wrote a great book on the bait of Satan. Offenses. Is that right? Wow. How easy it for people to get mad and angry and ticked off over little things. Why? Because they're miserable on the inside. They're miserable on the inside. Whatever the condition is of my spirit today, I mirror it on you. I hope you heard what I said. In other words, you know, if I'm unhappy, I'm going to make you unhappy, bless God. If I'm finding fault with my life, then I'm going to look for faults in your life. If I don't like me, then bless God, I don't like you, no matter the color of your skin. The Bible says love God, and then it says love yourself, and then it says love others. Why? Love others as you love yourself. If you don't love yourself, then we can't love other people. And we can't love ourselves without first loving God and knowing how much God loves us. Amen, Church on the Rock. All right? So notice that I've got to make sure that before you leave here today, you're going to get a chance to get offended in the nursery, in the Rock Express, in the lobby, with the jazz band. They didn't play the tune. It was not on note. They weren't on. Something happened. Out in the parking lot attendant didn't. Every day, family, we have an opportunity. Walmart, Kmart, Target, you know, White Castle. I mean, seriously, isn't it true? Every day we have an opportunity to get offended, but we've been called to live blameless. Blameless, another word in the Bible, integrity. Another word in the Bible for blameless is integrity. So integrity is connected to my prayer life. Integrity is connected to my conscience. And my conscience is connected to my confidence. And I have to come boldly and confidently before God with my request for God to answer my requests. That's Hebrews 4, verse 16. So I just want you to land there and look at that. I wish I had 3 weeks just to stay right there and just lock the doors and we just meditate on this. Because think about it. The next time you have an opportunity, or I have an opportunity to give people peace of our mind, we don't have enough to give away, my brother and sister. The next time we want to get even, get back, get angry, just remember what goes around comes around. How to pray and get results. I like what Charles Nieman, y'all know who Charles is? He wrote a book called Be a Master Asker. It was all about prayer. He wrote a book called Be a Master Asker. And my brother and sister, think about this now. Maybe you never thought about this. Prayer is a skill. Yes, it is. Prayer is not wasted time. Prayer is not a religious thing. Man's made it that, but prayer is a skill. I don't get it. Every skill you got to work at to develop it. I remember years ago, Kim, you asked Marilyn Hickey, Marilyn, how do I learn to pray? And she said to you, just pray, Kim. Just pray. How do you get better at a skill? You just begin to invest time and energy and resources at that skill. Prayer, there's an art of skill to pray correctly. It's not just a bunch of words and a beads. It's not just saying a ritual. It's not just words over and over again. I can't go to God any old way, my heart, any old condition, and expect God to move a mountain. I have to work on my heart before I bring to God what's in my hand that I'm asking for. Are you with me, family? Another couple of scriptures. Look with me, if you would, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 21. I love this. Don't you love the word, everybody? And beloved. Everybody say beloved. That means Christians. Christians. And Christians, if our conscience. That's in the Bible. What pastor's talking about today is in the Bible. That my confidence is connected to my conscience, and my conscience is the inner voice of my human spirit. It tells me what I'm doing right and what I'm doing wrong. We're all born with it. And beloved, if our conscience, that's our heart, does not accuse us, watch this now, if it does not make us feel what? Guilty. Wow. Or condemn us. Guilt robs us of our future because we're focusing on our past failures. Guilt robs us of strength. Guilt robs us of our faith. Guilt robs us of hope. Guilt robs us of opportunities because we're living under a dark cloud. And my brother and sister, I don't want you living under guilt or condemnation because your faith won't work at that address. So he says, now watch this. If my conscience is clear, that's what he's saying. If my conscience is clean, if I'm right with God and my fellow man, if I'm not holding a grudge or an offense, if I'm clean in my conscience and clear with my conscience, then look at this. We have what? Confidence. Everyone say conscience and confidence. Then we have confidence. When do we have confidence? When our conscience is clean and clear and pure. Not mad at God and not mad at anybody. Right with God and right with my fellow man. Then I get results in my prayer life. The Bible says that if I am even fussing with Pastor Kim, God won't answer my prayers. And all the women said, oh, you guys better heard that right there, may the Lord. Wow, prayer is a skill. Master asker. I got to get to be a master at asking so I can get results. Then I have confidence, which is boldness before God. My brother and sister, we got to have confidence and boldness in order for God to do what he could do and wants to do in our life. And for us to have confidence, we got to have a clear and clean conscience. Verse 22. And we receive, what do we do? And we receive. When do we receive? When our conscience is clear, so we approach God with confidence. Can't hold a grudge. Can't talk about people, gossip about people, crucify people. On what are you going to have this afternoon on Sunday for lunch? Barbecued Christian. Come on, somebody. We've all been there. That's why you're here. You don't want to be there. Amen. And so we receive from him whatever we ask. How can we get to the point that we receive from him whatever we ask? It's going to take a clean, clear conscience. That's what it's going to take. Can't be playing games. Can't be messing around. Can't have one foot in the world, one foot in the church. Can't be compromising, carnal Christian. Paul said, I got to take discipline, exercise, and control every day of my life so that I don't let the world pollute me. I don't let the world cause my conscience to be polluted, but I keep it pure because it's got to be pure, clean, and clear to have confidence, and I've got to have confidence and boldness to get what I ask God for. Okay, so he said, we receive from him whatever we ask because we what? Obey his orders. Now, we don't have time to land there, but that's just a thought. It's a good one, isn't it? If I haven't obeyed, not talking to you, I'm talking to me. Dave, if you haven't obeyed the last order God gave you, then God ain't going to answer your prayers. Oh, preacher, you just stepped on my toes. What did you say that for? Praise the Lord. Is it all there, family? He said, if I'm not obeying his last order, what's the last thing God told you to do? Growth track, small group, serve day, give tithe. Ooh, it's getting quiet. Oh, preacher, what have you been on? I've been on Jesus. I've been on the Word. Because I want people, I think we're all tired of no results, religion, playing games, hypocrites. Come on, somebody. We want the real deal. We want often, they say millennials want authenticity. Well, I'm a boomer and I want authenticity. I think we all want authenticity. Obey his orders, team comes out, and follow with me, verse 22, follow his. So if I'm rebelling against God's plan for my life, don't even come to the altar. Don't even come to the prayer line. I'm talking to me now, not y'all. Don't even come to the prayer line. Well, I've had the best of them pray for me, and how come I didn't get it? Are you following God's plan? No, I'm doing my own thing. It's your old thing. Don't do what you want to do. Okay. You know, you don't want to do that. Follow his plan. And then what's the next word, y'all? Habitually. Prayer is a skill. It's a spiritual habit. We can help you in our growth track. We have small groups on prayer. I don't have time to go into depth, but I just want to share with you the big thought for today. Is how's your conscience? What's it telling you? Is it clean? Is it clear? I have more scriptures, but let me give you the next step. Can I give you the next step? Because I don't want anybody in our church to be guilt-driven. I want you to be grace-given. I don't want you to feel like, well, I gotta pray. No, I want you to think, well, I can't wait to be with God. Because God loves me. God's for me. God has a good plan for my life. But what is your conscience telling you today? Is there somebody you need to forgive? Somebody you need to release? Is there something you need to do? Is there something you need to let go? Is there a nagging, gnawing on the inside that your conscience telling you it ain't, it aren't, it isn't right? To live a life of blameless and be a life of integrity and to have a clear, clean conscience, then I got to live my life without blaming God or blaming any other people. And then what does that do? Then that will breed and make my confidence, faith stronger. And you'll be bold as a lion, and God will do exploits through you. Well, what do I do, Pastor? I've been through a 12-step program and didn't work, and we're for that. We have one every Thursday night, Celebrate Recovery. I've been to counseling, and we got counselors in our church. We got people who do that. Pastor, it didn't help me. Could it be my heart? Could it be there's something in my heart God wants to change? Could it be I need to forgive myself? Could it be I need to forgive someone else? Could it be I need to forgive God and stop blaming him? So the next steps are this. Number one, how do you get a clean conscience? Through God's forgiveness. God's forgiveness. How do I get a clean conscience? Through God's forgiveness. Everyone say God's forgiveness. Now here's what I know. I'm taking a little bit extra longer, but it's all your fault. You've been praying for me. Here's what I know. Is 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. That's written to Christians. And I love that verse. I pray it every day. This morning, I'm up at 4:30 praying for you. And before I pray for you, I pray for me. And I pray this prayer every day because you're supposed to as a Christian. It's 1 John 1, 9. If we, as Christians, confess our sin, he is faithful and he is just to what? Cleanse us. The word is cleanse us. Cleanse us. Cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So God's forgiveness is bigger than my mistakes. God's forgiveness is bigger than my bloopers, wrong decisions, wrong acts, wrong habits, hang-ups, hurts. God's forgiveness, his mercy is greater than any mistake you and I have ever committed. All we have to do today is go to him and ask for forgiveness. And he'll give it to you and me. And you know what that does? That will clean your conscience. Number two, next step. Okay, Pastor, I got a clean conscience. Then the Bible talks about a clear conscience. Clear is connected to my confidence. And if I lack confidence, I don't want to be with God because I know something isn't right. So how do I get a clear conscience? Would you like to know? Three of you want to know. That's not enough. A clear conscience. Would you like to know? Reading your Bible every day. A Bible reading plan will clear your conscience. Where's that, Pastor? Ephesians chapter 5. The washing of the water of the Word. The washing of the water of the Word. You keep a clean conscience by every day asking God, what is that? Isn't that part of the Lord's Prayer? Forgive us this day? Yeah. And you'll keep a clean conscience. And my brother and sister, we've got to have a clean conscience to get answers to our prayers. And then how to have a clear conscience. You know what that means? Think correctly. Think correctly. Rethink our life. Rethink our circumstances. Rethink our future. Rethink our walk. It comes by the renewing of our mind that will give you a clear conscience. I sure do love you all. Did you get something today from the Word? Give the Lord all the praise, would you?
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.